The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, your question, episode 508. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
What's up?
All right, we're back with another one. Manny, don't do that. Turn the intro. What the hell is wrong with you?
Sorry about that.
Sarah and Air Force already hanging out. He goes, hopefully a great show with the crew. It's always a good show. Always a great show.
Yep.
Yeah. Brett, we don't know what's going on with him. You know, Brett's been having some health stuff, so could be that. So hopefully he's taking care of himself. But we are here to answer some of your questions, man. And we're not even going to Dirty Death Dealer. That's a name I haven't seen in a while. How you doing, Brett?
Yeah.
All right. All right, man. Let's start it off with Assyrian Air Force. Which will be – this is a hypothetical question, people. Which will be the next big Xbox studio game to come out on PlayStation? We're already starting a controversy this episode. Now, here's the thing. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have we seen any Microsoft – you know, Xbox studio games come to PlayStation yet?
Other than Grounded?
Grounded is the first one, right?
Grounded and what is it?
Sea of Thieves.
Yes.
So okay,
The ones I'm thinking about are these Bethesda games, right? But yes, those are it. But those are like we like to call them middle kind of tier games. When are we going to see the big boys coming? When are we going to see the Halos and the Forzas and the Gears?
We don't. I mean, I don't know if the I don't know if they're – it'd be interesting to think about it, but I don't know if they're going to actually do those.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the titles that they will do, are probably smaller titles or titles that didn't do amazingly on Xbox.
Yeah, okay.
I think they're going to
– Yeah, Assyrian Air Force says, which of the big three will we see first? Ooh-hoo-hoo. So, yeah, the big three, obviously, Halo, Forza – Gears. I don't know. I honestly don't know. What's up?
I think it's Forza.
Forza.
You know, Halo is in development now with Unreal Engine 5, so I don't know if that's next. Gears, I guess we'll have to wait and see, but Forza seems to me like it's about time. That's been on Xbox and PC long enough where I can see them say, okay, we need to try to make some money now on another platform. So
I don't know if they would put the new one on.
I was going to ask that. Do you think they'll put the new one or the old one? Because it seems like
definitely the old one.
Yeah, they'll throw
old one. Yeah, I think it might be the old ones.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so, yeah, it could be Forza. Again, I'm not even going to try to speculate. I have no fucking idea, you know?
Well, each of them have, like, their own certain reasons why they would show up. Like, Halo is in its last breath, it seems like.
You know,
Forza seems like the most portable, but maybe even might have a bigger issue to get on there because I don't know if Sony wants that because they have their own driving game. And Gears, the reason why that might be is because it's the most it's probably the best bet out of all of them to be a hit. And if it's a hit on PlayStation, they're gonna make money over fist over that game. So yeah,
have their own. Okay. Not to mention, you know, the Gears games have classically used Unreal Engine, and we all know that Unreal Engine does run on a PlayStation. Now, the Halo engine, we don't know anything about that. Except the new Halo, which it runs on the Unreal Engine 5. So,
and some people have speculated one of the reasons that game is on Unreal 5 is so they can eventually bring it to PlayStation. What's going on, Rich?
Well, we do know one thing. Whatever the new Halo is, quotation marks, it'll be the exact same Halo game made by the same team.
Yes.
So I will not be I will not be excited for that whatsoever. But because 343, I don't care if they change the name. This is the same people making this stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. And Forza Motorsport or Horizon, take your pick. They're still on whatever engine they're running on. So, you know.
Well, I mean the Decima engine for Horizon. Oh wait, no, excuse me, sorry. That's Forza Horizon, not
yeah,
Horizon.
Yeah. We're talking about Forza here.
Not you know? Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But okay. If this were to happen, I say get Forza on there first because it's the least controversial and it'll get people ready. And then when the big boys drop, then people won't be as outraged. Because if it's Gears or Halo first, Twitter's going to be interesting that day, boy. I'll tell you that. You know, the fanboys' videos will go up, and we'll get a lot of views ourselves, but we'll see about that. All right, moving on here, Mr. Alpha Chuck in the house. All right, when was the last time a game's graphics made your jaw drop and made you feel like you were seeing a generational leap? It seems like there used to be one or two games every generation that showcase what the new generation could do. The last time I felt this way was in 2018 with Red Dead Redemption 2. Yeah, that feeling. One. Yeah, that feeling is kind of few and far between nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah,
I
got mine.
Go ahead.
Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The last game that for me that's felt like that. Granted, there is a lot of issues with Cyberpunk at its release. So I can't give it that much credit, but when it works and when it worked, it hit different, man. It just felt like it. The graphics were its own, you know, experience. Like you just felt so immersed because not only was it really pretty to look at, it was just heavily detailed, like every single aspect of the game. So yeah, Cyberpunk for me was that.
Yeah, and to add more kind of weight to your pick there. Look how shitty it ran on old systems, letting you know this is a next-gen game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to agree with you on that one because, like, that nothing has looked like that. Like, even now, it's fucking impressive. You're like, yeah. Bro, this is wild shit. You know, I haven't seen... Like, I thought Wukong was going to be it, but not really. It's very impressive, don't get me wrong. But no, man, Cyberpunk... Even now, it's different, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, Wukong has all that motion blur, and you're like, ugh.
You can't turn that shit off, right?
I don't know, but it just feels like it's part... At this point, when I was playing, I was like, oh, it's just part of the game.
Yeah,
it's like, part it of the game. Like, it's part of the experience.
Yeah. All right, I'll go down the line here. Actually, I'll go down the line, but on the bottom here, underneath. Rich, what about you? Has there been a game within this generation that has graphically blown you away?
That's a great question.
Other than Concord?
No. I mean, I don't know if you could really call it a game. I think graphically, Hellblade 2 looks great, but, you know. I don't know if I would say it's blown me away. It's impressive. It's obviously they're using realistic photography, images, so on and so forth. But I can't think of anything else at the moment. Like you said, Tony, you made a very good point about the game was impressive, even though it had a horrible launch on consoles. But yes, the concept and the graphics looks great on that game.
Yeah. Chris, what about you? Any games within this generation that have like graphically destroyed your mind?
Nah, not really. I mean, I thought Returnal looked good, although I didn't touch it, though. I didn't.
Yeah.
I heard your review, and I was like, yeah, I'll pass. But no, nothing has, like, blown me away. I mean, even the games like I really love, like Elden Ring. It's not, I mean,
yeah.
Actually, it's last gen. Demon's Souls Remake, it looks good. It's not great. I wasn't like, oh, my God, I can't believe they did that. I haven't had that reaction with anything.
Yeah, I don't blame you. What about you, Brian?
That's a tough one. I'm kind of with Carlos here. I think it has to be Cyberpunk. And yeah, there's just not been anything that's been magical so far this gen, in my opinion.
Yeah, we definitely haven't had a Gears of War moment. Remember that? 2006? People saw that fucking game, like, what the fuck? You know?
And I will say this. It's a cautionary tale, Cyberpunk is, even though it's one of the most successful games.
You know?
Which is ironic. But one of the things that worries me, and they talked about, CD Projekt Red talked about, and correct me if I'm misremembering, but they're moving engines, right, from to Unreal?
Yeah, that worries me a little,
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say that. That worries me because I feel like we're reaching a point where everyone's using the same engine and most games kind of have, like, the same type of look, you know?
Yeah.
So it just, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's laziness. I don't know if it's the engine that's limiting people's creativity. I don't know if big companies are, you know, stepping down and telling folks not to put that much effort into how a game looks. But, you know, we noticed that most of the time when video games are made in their own engines, they stand out.
Yeah.
Either whether it's for good or bad, they stand out.
No, you're 100% right about that. Manny, what about you? Any games this generation that have, like, blown you away graphically?
I mean, like, it's weird because graphically it's like two different sides, because, like, it could be, like, aesthetics wise, or it could be, like, you know, how well it renders skin and all that sort of stuff. To be honest, I'd actually say I was very impressed with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Really interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's the way the characters looked in that, and the, you know, they had the crazy hair shit that was going on Rocket and all the other things in there. It was a really nice looking game.
Yeah. This is not a game, but that tech demo we saw for Unreal Engine 5 back at the beginning of the gen, that shit was impressive.
The Matrix thing?
Yeah, the Matrix was pretty good too. But now we're actually seeing Unreal Engine 5 games, and it's like, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, now, you know, all those claims that they made that it can run all these different things, that apparently you can't do all that stuff, can you?
Yeah. Yeah.
About a little bit of smoke and mirrors. But then again, that's what we said at the time, right?
We did.
We said, hopefully, like, okay, yeah, it's running all this stuff in the best conditions it could possibly run these things in. But now let's put logic inside of the game. Let's put AI on the game. Let's put, you know, let's put a lot more than just a bunch of rocks, you know?
Yeah.
You know, just, and a cave.
Yeah, let's have an entire world outside that cave.
Yeah. Let's have a world outside the cave. Yeah, like, you know, I think, you know, like, every single example, like, you know, now, you know, you see that the ray tracing technique that they have doesn't really work amazingly, you know, the software solution that they have, you know, so a bunch of other things. So it's like, yeah, it looks great, but let's see it actually in practice.
Yeah.
I feel like, and this is just, this might be wishful thinking, is that hopefully most of the games right now that are coming out on Unreal 5 were originally Unreal 4 ports, and they're like, okay, let's put these on Unreal 5 and then release them. And then hopefully whatever comes out in the next couple of years is actually, you know, making a dent into sort of graphics territory. So I don't know. Could be wishful thinking, but hopefully that's the case.
Yeah. All right, man. Another question here from Alpha Chuck. Regarding Valve's comments on the Steam Deck 2 release schedule, what is the right balance of holding off for significant upgrades versus supporting the current releases? Asking because more AAA games are not being supported on the deck due to lack of power. The most recent examples are Dragon's Dogma 2 and Space Marines 2, and I doubt very much that Monster Hunter Wilds will be supported. All right, first of all, I'm pretty sure you can still run those games on the Steam Deck. Whether they perform well, I don't know about that, but just to keep in mind, if a game is, like, listed in the quote-unquote unsupported section, doesn't mean doesn't run on Steam Deck. Understand? It's just, it may not run optimally. But, and Brian, I'm going to you. Have you tried Dragon's Dogma 2 on Steam Deck by any chance?
I have not, and that's a good question. I will give it a go.
There you go. Yeah, what do you think about this, Brian?
It's a good question, but then again, it's just a handheld problem of how much power can you put in these machines without getting, like, an hour of battery life, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can sit there and put, okay, let's put, like, a 3080 in the machine, but then you play a game, it lasts half an hour, and then that's it. You know, battery's dead. So there's that problem. And I really don't know what the where the sweet spot would be for that.
Yeah. Yeah, because remember what Valve said, it's like they want to wait until, you know, the technology gets better so the games don't just last like an hour or so when you're playing them. So I guess it would be like 3 to 4 years maybe for a handheld. But then again, I don't know if that's how long it takes to, you know, get these things up to Valve standards. Because, yeah, I know what he's saying. It's like you have that threshold of like you don't want to release systems too close to each other, but you also don't want to wait too long in between because then shit gets outdated really fast and stuff. So I would say 3 to 4 years if you could do it, if you could reasonably do it. But, you know, we'll see, because it's already been 2 years, I believe, almost three. No, it's like 2.5 years, right? Since the Steam Deck came out, the original one, the OLED came out last year. So yeah,
over 2 years.
So we're still good. But like I said, just remember, just because a game is quote unquote not supported, doesn't mean it won't run on it. You know, it just hasn't been deck verified. You know what I mean? And deck verified could be like, okay, unsupported could be as something small as like, oh, maybe the text is too hard to read or something like that. It could be something really innocuous, you know? That example I gave may not be it, but it's kind of in the same spirit where it's like, it may be something small that's like somewhat could be insignificant, that it'll be unsupported or whatever. But it's still a good question regardless. What about the rest of you guys? What do you think is a good time frame to release handhelds, like new versions?
A good time frame?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be honest, like, I don't know. Like, Nintendo, the only one that we have right now is Nintendo, with the best examples of theirs. And usually it's already been like a few years before they did the different iterations of the DS, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
we're gonna be 8 years for the Switch next year.
8 years for the Switch. So, I think the best point is like what Valve said, where the price point makes sense. You know, they're not killing people's wallets for these things, and the ability to run these games at a pretty decent clip without destroying your batteries or, you know, being able to play it for 2 hours. I think that what they said is fine. But I do think that a lot of the gaming community doesn't like that. You know, they don't like that idea of like, oh, well, I got to wait for another one. Why don't you do like the other guys do? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually have a question for Tony.
Uh-oh.
Controversial question.
Yeah.
Do you think that the competitors are going to do a yearly thing?
They are. They already are doing it.
So the
ROG Ally just had its next iteration. Fucking the MSI Claw came out like 6 months after the fact, you know, and there's another one coming. So it's like two in three in 1 year, you know. So, yeah, they're already. And fucking thank you for bringing it up too. Assyrian Air Force, Aya Neo, they crank these fucking things out like every 6 months. So their competitors are already doing it. And rumors are saying the new Lenovo Legion Go is going to be dropping like early next year. So yeah, the competitors are already doing it.
Yeah. So going back to what Manny mentioned is like there's, you know, they're doing their own thing apparently, but the competitors are doing something else. So mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what Valve thinks. Honestly, I don't believe what Valve says.
Kay.
Because if there's any way that they can make money, they'll try to do it. That's just rule of thumb. Going back to, I think Brian mentioned something like this last show. If they had the capabilities to release a new Steam Deck every year, I feel like they would do it.
I don't know, man. They make money hand over fist regardless. You know, regardless if you're running it on their Steam Deck or on a PC, they're already making money. So I don't think it's a money thing at all.
For me, I always default that it's a money thing.
Yeah, that's a Carlos thing. He always defaults to that in the end.
Yeah, these are greedy motherfuckers. As far as when this should release, I don't know. It's interesting because the Steam Deck is tied to your games library, and it's like it's a whole bunch of games. Like I have over 500 games that I can play on it, but there's also a huge catalog, and the games that most people are probably going to play are the more recent ones. And so you there's sort of like a weird phase where, you know, you can play everything except the games that you want to play for the most part. So, you know, doing an iteration every 3 or 4 years in this landscape just seems like forever. So we're reaching a point where the Steam Deck came out 2 years ago, and, you know, games like Space Marines and, ReFantazio Metaphor and stuff like that release. And it's like, we're reaching the point where some of these games might not even play there. I mean, they're not the most, Space Marines is, but some of these are not the most intensive games. So I don't know. I feel like people who are into the Steam Deck would want to play some of those games on the go, especially if they've already played other ones. And if they can't, and let's say people that love Space Marines are like, I want to play this on my Steam Deck, but I can't. I don't know. I get the itch. but the next year, there's like, oh, there's the ROG Ally X2, and I can play Space Marines on that. Excuse me? So, you know, I feel like competition-wise, it wouldn't be beneficial for Valve to do a 3 to 4 year strategy, because when they released, it's a phrase when you're like the first in town, and it's like
yeah, that is the phrase, the first in town, you know?
Yeah, like Switch and stuff aside, like they were like the first of that wave,
yeah,
where it's like, oh, it's the Steam Deck, it's the ROG Ally, it's the Lenovo's, everyone just started, the MSI Claw, everyone started releasing stuff.
Yeah, like a proliferation of this stuff just happened. But again, here's the thing, and I said this before, what does Steam Deck have over those guys? Steam the OS? OS. That's the thing that makes it really the handheld for everybody, because those Windows handhelds are finicky as fuck. You know, once you get them up and running, you're good. But getting there, it's more than the average person wants to deal with, you know, and even using them, too, could be a pain in the ass because you got to deal with Windows 11. So despite the hardware advances that you're seeing with these handhelds, it is not an easy experience for the regular person. It's not, you know, those handhelds are really for guys like us that like tinkering, you know, but to their credit, those things are selling. They wouldn't be making another iteration if they weren't selling. You know, I'll tell you this. When I met with Asus at CES, you know, I asked them, you know, behind the scenes, but I could talk about it now, obviously. I asked them about the Asus, and they told me, it's like, yeah, we were not expecting it to sell that well. So then, surprise, surprise, 6 months later, they released the ROG Ally X. And don't be surprised if they release another one next year, you know? Is SteamOS coming to ROG Ally and Legion Go? That's what the reports say, that it is going to be coming to other platforms, but we'll see about that. And there's also some like third party. So I've heard about something, some like other third party way to get SteamOS on these things. I mean, you could still do it. One of our, actually my manager managed to do that. He got SteamOS on the ROG Ally through Linux. He got rid of Windows 11. Oh my God, guess what happened? The games ran 25% better and the battery life lasted 25% longer. Ain't that something? Get rid of Windows 11 and makes things better, you know? But yeah, so we'll see what Valve does, because you're right, Carlos. Like, they can't be on the sidelines for too long, you know? So we'll see. All right.
Novelty is a word that I was looking for,
novelty, by the way. Yeah. Okay. Be over though, first, you know, kid on the block is still good too, you know. but yeah, all right. Moving on here, Cuban Boss, what's going on, brother? Do you guys like it when progress or items carry over from demos? For example, would you want any items carrying over from the Monster Hunter demo or starting fresh yet again? Yeah, I like it when stuff carries over. Cool. It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. I like it. Yeah,
Stellar Blade did it. You know, a couple other demos did it. No, that's fun. Like, you know, what was it? Dragon's Dogma had you could bring over your character. You had the character creator thing.
Yeah, Monster Hunter's going to let you do the same thing as well. your
character. So yeah, I think it's cool.
Yeah, I don't really, I don't see why anyone would have a problem with it, to be honest. Hey,
you know what I like even better? When you make a sequel to a game and all the shit that you did in the previous game, you get some fucking thing from the, you know, from whatever progress or whatever from the previous game to come over from the previous.
Yeah.
Only a few games. You can count on your fingers how many games have actually done that.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the rest of you guys? What do you think about this?
I think it's great. I mean, if you put in the work on the demo and get collectibles and maybe unlock costumes and stuff, why would you want to do that work again?
Yeah.
The full game. Why wouldn't you want to carry over? It's like, oh, I don't have to start over. I unlocked that suit. I got that equipment. I farmed that shit in the demo and it appears in the main game. That to me is a bonus. I don't know who would disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't understand why anybody would be against it, but yeah, it's cool. It's like, you know, once you get the main game, you're already started.
Yeah, you're ready to go, right? Yeah.
I think it's awesome. What's up?
I think more games should be doing that.
Agreed.
To be fair.
Yeah.
Well, the ones that actually make the demos.
I was just about to say, how about we get more demos too?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, again, as you guys have said, it is just something that makes just a lot of sense because you are rewarding the people for actually spending time in the demo, whether it's okay, your progress will carry over, your character will carry over, or even better, like you can have the demo be like the intro tutorial of the game, and then when you buy the game, you don't have to go through it because again, you've gone through the demo, so it's like, oh yeah, you play through the intro in theory, so hence you skip over it, you know.
That's what Stellar Blade like did.
You know, it just makes sense to me, like you just can do that, or you should do that.
Yeah, I agree. All right, another one from Cuban Boss. How does the panel feel about Satya Nadella getting a pay increase while shedding studios like Tango Gameworks and calling it restructuring? I know this isn't technically, I mean, it is. It's not a gaming question, but it also kind of is. So I'll allow it, you know? So yeah, basically we heard, well, how much money was his raise? It was a lot of money. So
it was 30 million. Million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he got a $30 million raise while Tango Gameworks gets shuttered.
I mean, he's on the Bobby Kotick School of Business in the chat. It's like you reduce headcount, you try to boost your stock afterwards, and then you get voted a fat raise. I think it's a despicable practice, and it's awful. Like, how many thousands of people just this year alone for Microsoft have lost their jobs? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. The failure should start at the top. It should start with him. It's like, if you needed to reduce that much headcount and you were failing that badly, then you should probably not be CEO of Microsoft.
Yeah,
right. It should. The accountability is always at the bottom with big tech companies. Never.
Yeah, all it is is just a perception rope-a-dope, you know, to make the company look like it's doing better than it actually is. All the fucking tech business does this shit, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
They always do a big massive hiring, you know, toward the beginning of the next fiscal year. Oh, it's all growth, everything's great. You know, they make their projections, and then what they do is they make sure that they come in, you know, below the, you know, they come in above their projection, like, oh hey, yeah, look at that, you know, we reached our, we did better than our projection, and then you know, guys like Nadella get a pay hike because that's how it works in film too, where like if you have a film and animation, if you manage to come in under budget within the contracts, a lot of times the executives or the producers get a bonus because, hey, look, you came under budget. That's more money for, you know, we could spread it, you know, we could give it over to this guy because they did such a great job at saving money. It's, you know, I've had a couple of productions do that. And then, you know, again, because the bean counters don't see the fact, oh, hey, the company, you know, the producer essentially cut a shitload of corners so that they could get this, so they can come in under budget, you know.
Yeah.
Same old shit.
Or my personal favorite tactic, where you know, the CEO is about to leave and they want to raise the stock price, so they fire a bunch of people or the highest paid people, you know, and all of a sudden they have all this extra money. Oh, the company's profitable. Yeah, scumbag stuff. Anyway, any other thoughts on this?
I think just what you said, Tony, it's just scumbag stuff. When I heard the news, I was like, wait, how much? You know, and then the next question was, why? What did he do? Like, what was the positives that he did in the company? Like, how did he make the company better? And obviously, there was no answer. So I was like, okay, so just corporate nonsense. Lovely. You know?
Yeah. All right. Move on. Okay. So Cuban Boss actually asked us, specifically Adam, a question about Call of Duty. But surprise, I'll say it now, we will have Adam on the Thursday show to talk about Call of Duty, people. So stay tuned for that. I said this when Adam first joined Throwdown many years ago. I was like, I'm glad we got you on for, among other reasons, we could actually have a meaningful conversation about Call of Duty every year, because before that, we would just be like, Call of Duty's out, and then that's it, because nobody on the panel played it. But Adam came on, and he gave us his full analysis every year, so that will not stop, just because he's not a permanent member. So we'll have him on, talk about Black Ops 6, and give it a run. Because I saw not only Cuban Boss, but I saw a couple of guys in the chat. Like, oh, that's what you guys were talking about. There's a weekend. A bunch of you guys bought the game or playing it. So I think it's good if we have somebody, you know, from Throwdown give their thoughts on it. Because, again, the rest of us do not play Call of Duty. So I could tell you, it's like, meh, it exists, you know. I'm definitely here's the thing. There's a lot of content creators, and I'm not a content creator, so that's why I don't have to be beholden to this. They'll play games that their community's playing. So I'm like, we don't do that shit around here, bro. We play what we want to play, you know? And that's why you guys appreciate it, because we keep it real, you know. Oh, let's play Fortnite. Fuck out of here with that shit. You know?
Well, we did play Fortnite.
Yeah, we did.
At one point for like, was it less than an hour?
Less than an hour,
you guys did it?
Yeah. I think after three.
We got second place.
Yeah, we did get second place. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not doing it regularly. But yeah, that was kind of fun when we used to do that. It's like, hey, let's play a game we'll never play again, you know?
We did Apex Legends.
Yeah, we did Apex Legends. We did Fall Guys, I think. Is that the name of that game?
Yes.
Yeah, you did Fall Guys.
We did Fall Guys. We did Metal Gear Survive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did that.
Yeah, so basically we played a bunch of trash games, but it was just 1 hour. Sea of Thieves. It was like 1 hour and that's it, you know? Monster Hunter Wilds beta, though. Let's fucking go.
I'm downloading that right now.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Wait, are you for serious?
Oh, yeah, it's out. It came out like 10 minutes ago.
Excuse me? I know what I'm doing tonight.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Preload. It's a preload. Yeah, I know it's a preload, yeah. Yeah, and here's the thing that annoys me. Here's the thing, I'm going to preload it, and I don't even know when I'm going to be able to play. This week's going to be so fucking busy for me. And hey, guess when the beta starts? 11 p.m. I'm like, bro, that's when I go to sleep. The fuck?
Yep.
You know?
Not anymore.
Yeah. Nah, man. Ooh, under NDA, but your boy's going to be busy as fuck this week, you know? So Manny's going to be hanging out with me most of the week. So you're going to see me over here just typing away, you know? It's crazy. All right. So, yeah, we'll have Adam on the Thursday show. He'll tell you about Call of Duty. All right. Moving on. Got a couple more here from Assyrian Air Force. Which TV or monitor do you guys play games on? Let's go.
Didn't we get that? We asked this before, didn't we? Pretty recently.
No, it was what GPU and CPU do you have?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I threw in, like, hey, what monitor do you use? But it's an official question, so we could go through it again.
All right.
Yeah, Manny, what do you use to play games on?
1080p Vizio? It's like I don't know. It's got to at least be, like, 10 years old. I mean, how long has it been since we have been rooming together? 10 years, right? Yeah, it's got to be at least 10 years, because I bought that television when we moved out of the place in Queens. So yeah. It's got at least be over 10 years I've had this television. So yeah, it's so old. My television is so old. All the apps on it don't update anymore.
Wow.
You know, it had like Netflix and you know, a bunch of other applications that were on it. It was like one of the early ones that actually had it. Yeah, none of those things work. Netflix or, you know, Amazon, none of that stuff. So yeah, it's an old television, but it still works.
And
so,
Manny, there you go. Dirty Deaf Dealer says yes, he still has the same TV.
Yeah, one thing about my television, it still has all of the connectors for like it has video jacks. So it has the three colored video jacks, you know, on the back of it. Like a lot of TVs nowadays don't have those anymore. It also still has a PCI slot on it too. So you could stick a monitor on there, you know, stick a laptop or something on there. So if I wanted to, like, if I had like a, you know, if I had like a which I was thinking of putting together, which was like a set top like PC, you know, where I just use the parts for something and just have a little, you know, mediocre PC to, you know, not play any games, but at least run some video or whatever on. So, but yeah, it's an OG.
How many inches is it?
Geez, I don't even remember. Big enough, I guess.
It's big enough.
man, he's going to say is like, it's not the size of the ship. You it's know? The motion of the ocean.
All I know is that whatever size of the plasma TV that you had, Chris, that's pretty much the size of mine, the one that you currently have.
Yeah, it's like a 55-inch.
Yeah, it's pretty much that. It's like a 55-inch television. And then my PC, I run an Asus monitor. It's nothing fancy. It has speakers. It actually has speakers in it. So if I want to listen to music or anything like that, I could run it through the speakers of the monitor as opposed to just my headphones. Yeah, and it's very simple. You know, if these things go dead, then I'll obviously go invest in the new one. But if I don't, I'm of the mind if I don't need to swap out, I don't need to.
Yeah. All right. I'm going down the line here. Carlos, what are you rocking, man?
So for my gaming monitor on PC, if I play games on PC, I have an ultra wide LG, and for the life of me, I can't find the what's it called?
Is it an LG Ultra Gear by any chance?
I don't know. Let me see. Because I try to look for the receipt. I'm like, what, yeah. Is it on Amazon? I couldn't find it. It's a pretty good one. It's a 144 hertz. You know, G-Sync, FreeSync, I think it has both or something like that. Pretty good response time.
OLED?
Ultra? No. Okay. No, not OLED. But it's still pretty good. I've had this for like maybe 3 or 4 years at this point. And for if I play games on consoles, I play them on a Samsung 55-inch S95C.
Yay, yay.
Which is an OLED.
Nice. Yeah, for me, I got the LG CX. That's my main for everything, for console and PC. Obviously, you know, OLED, all that, HDR, 120 hertz, supports HDMI 2.1. I don't game on, like, at my PC with the monitors, but if you guys are curious, I have two Asus monitors. They're both 165 hertz. 1080p, and I believe this is 27 inches, but probably smaller than that. Those monitors are just for work, so I don't care. But with gaming, yeah, I got the big daddy right there, the LG CX still holding me down. I got my PC and PS5 connected to it, so when I play games, got that. So I'm very, very happy with that television. I probably should upgrade, but there probably isn't a need right now. So I'll just hold on to it because, you know, they got the C4 right now, you know, the updated version. But, you know, it's still holding me out, so I'll hold on to it.
I wish I could say the same.
Oh, excuse me? Yeah, I know. Yours fucked up on you, didn't it? Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we both had the same TV for a while, you know?
We got them, like, what, the same week?
I think so. Yo, Carlos, let's get this shit. Yo, and about that TV, I literally must have sold inadvertently like 30 of them. Because when I got this shit, yeah. I was so fucking hype. I'm just tweeting about it, going ham. And then motherfucker started tweeting. I'd be, Tony, I got it. Tony, I got it. Tony, I got it. You know? And it's funny because I told LG this when I met with them like last year, and they were like, yo, that ain't nothing, man. Wait till you see the C3. That was the new TV at that point, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I bought this TV for my PS5 and my PC, and I still have the same PC, you know, the same PC and the PS5, so there's no need to update the television. But I probably will get a 65-incher when I get, like, you know, the PS6, if that's even a thing, you know? Because that's the thing I do ever since with the PS2. I always upgrade the television to go along with it. It started as a kind of accident with the PS2, but then it became deliberate with the PS3, you know? It's like, oh, PS3 is 720p. Because I got to get a 720p television. Oh, PS4 is 1080p? Got to get a 1080p television. PS5 is 4K? Got to get 4K. So I just keep kind of going up and up like that. And now, you know, that I'm in this, like, new place, now my 55-inch TV looks small. So, like, I need a bigger TV now, you know? But, yeah, definitely will always be OLED. Man, once you see OLED, bro, you can't go back. You cannot go back, man. It's just a thing of beauty, you know? If these consoles go digital, I'm no longer gaming. Damn. That's what Dirty Death Dealer says. Well, I mean, yeah, you may have to stick with your old consoles then, because that's where things are going, bro. You know, like it or not. All right. Brian, what do you use to game on, sir?
I have an Acer Predator Z 35P. So it's an ultra-wide 1440 monitor, because obviously ultra-wide. It's really nice. It's really crisp. It's not OLED, Tony. Don't worry.
All right.
I can hear you asking.
Like, is it
OLED? No, it's not. It's just not there yet. Sorry, I'm a bit distracted. I'm just trying to... Oh, okay, there it is. Sorry, downloading beta, so mine is elsewhere.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, my TV, it is a Philips... It is an OLED.
Let's go. Philips
OLED, something to do with Ambilight. I don't remember a number, but I know it's 70 inches and it's nice on the wall.
Yeah.
So that's why I'll be playing Monster Hunter Wilds on in about half an hour. So. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Chris, what do you got?
Oh, like Manny said, I have our old Samsung 55-inch plasma TV.
Oh shit, plasma.
Yeah, plasma.
Yeah, I don't even know that. I assume, yeah, it's 1080p. It's a dirt old TV. We bought it in like 10.
Yeah, 2010. Whenever we moved together, it was like 2010.
It was 2010.
Yeah, 2010. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a 14-year-old television. That's ancient.
That's ancient.
It's hilarious because that was like my first HD experience was on that television.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the options. I mean, you guys got the OLED. I like the Samsung QLED TVs.
So oh yeah, those are nice. Yeah,
maybe by the end of this year, I'll probably invest.
Black Friday's coming, man. You got to upgrade. You know, 14-year-old TV, you can't be having that.
Yeah, it's so hard to read too.
Yeah.
It's funny because I had the same problem with when I started playing GTA 4, I still had a CRT. So I couldn't read, like, you know, the phone text messages. Yeah. They're fucking too low res. I couldn't read the messages on the phone. Funny. And I finally got my first, like, an old LCD TV, like a Toshiba. And I was like, wow, this looks so great. You know, that shit is dirt old. But, back then, I was like, from CRT to that, it was fantastic. So I'm waiting for my mind to get blown, going from our oldie moldy plasma to like a nice QLED TV.
Nice. All right. And Rich, what do you got? What do you use for gaming?
Well, very timely discussion, because I finally will be upgrading my TV.
Nice.
This Black Friday. Right now, I have an... You know, I usually shop at Best Buy. I have the Insignia 1080p 32-inch, which is unacceptable. I need to get myself a 4K TV. I can get one for a really good price, but I'm trying to wait and see, because I got to think about the size and, of course, HDR and 4K. OLED. And I definitely need to have a really good TV.
Yeah.
So as for my computer monitor, I do have the Asus. This is a 4K monitor, 32-inch. So I think I'm okay as far as the computer games are concerned, but I definitely need to upgrade for the console games.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. Another one from Assyrian Air Force. So I kind of changed this question around because his original question was, what like modern hardware like feature would you have wanted on older consoles? But that's just way too hypothetical, you know, and not to mention breaking the space-time continuum. So I changed it to what is the best hardware feature of the current gaming era or recent gaming era that you really like?
Hardware of the recent gaming era?
Yeah, I'll start. Really fast SSDs. You know, we'd have to deal with like insanely long load times, you know, anymore. Remember those, you know? So I'm pretty happy about that. Even if the SSD speeds aren't what Mark Cerny claimed, there's still a marked improvement over last gen. Like, for example, if you play like the Spider-Man games, you don't even see the subway scene. The fucking game loads so fast, you know? Anyway, what else do you guys like hardware-wise?
Yeah, the SSD is a pretty fancy thing.
Yeah, Manny, another example he gave is haptics and controllers. Do you like that?
That was going to be my answer.
Yeah, okay. I don't care about the haptics. I mean, it's like okay, it's interesting, but it's what? How many games use it? Astrobot?
Yeah.
Like they're the only ones that really officially use it. I mean, to go with a different thing, granted, not a lot of games even use the ray tracing abilities on the damn graphics cards these days.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah.
Like a generational like thing that are offered for this gen. You know, oh no. The surround sound ability on the headphones. Because back in the day, I used to use a surround sound headset that used to connect to like the PS3 and the 4. Like just a separate thing that was made for it. Now they're actually able to pipe surround sound through your actual own headphones using this sort of, you know, setup. And it's actually pretty impressive. So yeah, that's the thing I'm impressed about.
Yeah. Carlos, tell us why haptics are, you know, your favorite.
I just feel like it adds a good dimension to gaming. Even though I do agree with Manny, it really no one utilizes it as well, except the Astrobot people. But it's something that, you know, I feel like can be used for really, really good themes. Because obviously the SSD is probably the number one. But since that's already taken, I can't really think of anything else that really they innovated that's used, you know. Because is it just this generation or is it just PlayStation?
We could extend it to the last 10 years if you want, you know. And you could even take it outside of consoles if you want. As long as it's gaming.
I'll do a Steam Deck. I mean, if we had a Steam Deck 12, 15 years ago, that would have been crazy.
Yeah.
Where you can just take all your Steam library everywhere and play it. Obviously, you know, it might not be Steam Deck verified, but that would have been cool.
You did. It was called a PSP.
We had a Vita, baby, you know. But we didn't have have our Steam library, though. We didn't have that.
Yeah, the Steam library is key. Yeah.
By the way, I just thought of something. I mean, even though it obviously does involve headphones, which is hardware. Manny, do you think that headphone thing is more of a software feature?
Yeah, I think it's more of a software feature than a hardware feature.
Yeah, but, you know, I was like, hold on, that's more of a software thing, but whatever. It's an innovation. I don't like it, by the way. I tried it. I'm like, this thing doesn't work. Like, it sounds worse, you know, than like...
It sort of depends. I think they also adjusted the way it works because some people's ears are not the same, so they have different sound profiles for you.
Yeah, yeah. It could be my ear because, you know, my ears are shot to shit from thanks to decades of heavy metal concerts. So yeah, I did the whole setup, you know, with the 3D whatever, and I heard, I'm like, oh yeah, this sounds way worse. Like there's some shit I can't even hear after the setup, you know, and the setup thing was kind of confusing too. Like they were like, where do you hear the sound from? Like they all sound like they're coming from the same place, you know? Like they all literally just sound like they're either coming from this year or this year. Like there's like I think one of them was like, so it's like, is it behind you? Is it in front of you? Is it done there? I'm like, they all sound like they're coming from the same place. You know, so it's probably my shitty ears, you know? All right, anybody else? Our gaming hardware features that have released in the last, like, 10 years or so that you like?
Only, I agree with you. Only having storage in the console, I think, is a feature I like. The online has brought on, is a double-edged sword because it's brought on lazy program practices where day one patches and all this shit, season passes. So the online has kind of been like good and bad because I love playing with you guys online, but it's like, goddamn, you used to be able to just pop in a game and it worked. And now we don't have that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you, you know, like finished work, come home from work or whatever? You're like, yeah, man, I'm ready to play this game. Update. Like, fuck. You know, and then like an hour passes, like I don't have time to play anymore. I gotta start getting ready for work tomorrow, you know? So that's a pain in the ass. I agree. All right, man. We'll move on here. Jolly Yellow Nerd. What's going on, brother? Do you prefer physical instruction manuals or in-game tutorials?
Why not both?
And why not both? I think that's probably the real answer right there.
I think I feel like I wish we didn't have the in-game in-game tutorials for the plain reason that it's like, all right, you go here, go jump over this. And every single game does it. I wish we could just skip that shit and we can get along with it. Yeah, you read the manual. All right, you good? But yeah, that's my opinion on that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The old school in me wants to say manual, but like, practically, give me the in-game tutorial. I don't want to deal with fucking reading this shit before. Oh, let's do all this reading, then play the game. Like, let me play the game. Like, yes, it was cool when you, like, left the game store and bought, you know, looked through the thing. I haven't bought a physical game in 10 years. So I'm thinking just for myself, it would just be a waste of time. All these black and white papers, we don't even have color, you know, just stacking up. For what? Give me the fucking in-game tutorial. I agree with you, Manny. It could be really stupid. But some games do it better than others, you know?
And half the time, some of these games don't even give you a proper tutorial in general. Like, how many times have we heard you say, I didn't even know you could do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because some of these tutorials are fucked up. They don't teach you everything. Like, you know, because I will say back in the day, you had no choice but just keep pressing buttons and see what the fuck happens. Go through all the menus. Now, in-game tutorials have kind of like taught me not to do that. So like I could literally, there's been so many times, and it happens with every single game. I'll beat the whole game without knowing a specific thing I could do. I was like, well, I didn't know that the fucking tutorial didn't tell me, you know?
And come on, Carlos, he didn't even know you could get a chocobo.
Yeah, you know? But at the same time, would I rather miss one feature than having books? I'd rather just miss the feature. I don't want to just have all these papers stacking up, you know? Again, the old school part of me wants the manuals, but they're cumbersome, you know? So that's my stance.
Shame on Square Enix, man. How the hell do you get a chocobo by the only way you can get a chocobo is by doing a random ass side mission,
yeah,
a random ass person in a huge ass freaking map.
Yeah, for sure.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. What about the rest of you guys? Physical instruction manual or in-game tutorial?
I'm with you guys. In-game tutorial is better. Manuals were cool back in the day for me, but you know, it's, you know, when you get into a game, it's like, yeah, I just want to go in. I don't want to, you know, check anything else out.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to do studying beforehand, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're like me, you get your games digital, you know?
Yeah. All day.
Yeah. All day digital, you know? Oh man. All right. Hey, the pod cat in the house. Yeah. Manny's new cat is awesome. All right. Another one. For Mr. Tumeke, what's going on, man? Happy to have you back asking us questions. What's your game purchase count so far for 2024? Is it higher or lower than 2023? So basically, have you bought more games this year than you did last year? We'll go down the line. Manny, have you bought more games this year than last year?
Let's see. I got to think about how many games I bought.
Want me to come back to you?
Well, no, okay. Yes, I would say maybe yes, because I have all the, you know, the sort of bigger titles, you know, the ones I had. So it's like, have Stellar Blade, the Wukong game. I have Hi-Fi Rush. So maybe about five, I guess I would say. That's definitely more than last year, I would say, because I didn't have a PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Last year I bought the PlayStation 5. When did the Slim come out? I don't remember.
Slim came out last year.
So yeah, I would say I might have a little bit more this year than I did last year.
Yeah. What about you, Carlos?
Yeah, definitely this year more than last. Just because I went on a CD Keys shopping spree where I got like close to 10 games. I'm like, get all these games where I got like I got Sifu, I got Dave the Diver, I got the Little Nightmares collection on PC. And plus, you know, I bought some new games as well with Shadow of the Erdtree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Metaphor, which I still have yet to play. But
Rifantasio.
Metaphor, Rifantasio. I've bought a lot of games, but, you know, just the other collection that I got, it far surpasses whatever I got last year.
Yeah. Brian.
I think I may have bought more games this year than not. But then again, with me, I may have bought more games that came out this year than what I usually do. Because usually I buy maybe one game that came out that year. But this year, I bought at least three. So, which means that I've played at least three games that came out this year,
That's a lot.
I know. Even I'm surprised. And I still haven't even bought Stalker 2 yet. So, it's still something, you know. But, yeah, I think I bought more games this year than I did the last 2 years, just in general. I don't count bundles because they're bundles and they're kind of not really fair to count. But I do count games that I look to buy in those bundles as individual because, again, it makes more sense. Because sometimes there'll be like a sale on, or not a sale, there'll be like a bundle where there's like seven games but only two games I actually want. So I'm only counting those two games, not the rest. I'm not going to pad out my numbers. But yeah. Definitely bought more games than recently, but then again, it's been a rare year where there's been three games that have come out that I like and want, and all of them sequels, and all of them the second one in the series, which is interesting.
Crazy. All right, Chris, what about you?
I say it's net more than last year, but it's been all leaning towards Steam because of the Steam Deck. So I've bought less games on PlayStation. Like, I've only bought like maybe four or five titles. I mean, I still have to play Stellar Blade. I haven't decided which one to get Space Marines on because I wanted to play it on the deck and I saw it was unsupported. I didn't know if it would take extra work. So maybe I might get the PS5 version. But yeah, I haven't committed to it. But there's a whole bunch of like small games, like indie horror games or whatever, that I've been just picking up on Steam. So I have a ton of titles and Adam sends me deals, and I'll pick up whatever he recommends. And I'm like, I'm not sure. Okay, was this $2, $3? I'll buy these games. And then there's a sale. So yeah, overall, like my Steam backlog is crying because it's getting bigger. But I've bought more titles on Steam this year than PlayStation. Probably the first time in a while. I've been enjoying more stuff on there.
All right. I purposely left me and Rich for last because since we are game reviewers, you know, just being upfront, we don't necessarily buy a lot of the games we play, you know, particularly new games. So, Rich, for us, I'm going to change the question around slightly, although we can talk about the games we did buy. Have you played and reviewed more games this year than you did last year?
That is a phenomenal question. That's also a great way to segue, because like you said, we do get access to a lot of games. So, well, let me just say this first and foremost. If I was to answer the original question, I would say it's the same because I haven't really spent that much money on any games for the last 2 years. But to answer the specific question, I definitely have done a lot more reviews and previews this year than last year. Just because this is an insane time of the year with all the games that are dropping. So, yeah, I've definitely done a lot more writing a lot more playing a lot of different types of games. And to go to what Carlos said earlier, I like he mentioned metaphor. Right?
Yeah.
I still haven't played that game. I got that game. I still haven't had a chance to play it because there's too many other things that came out around the same time, or maybe it was an instance where I had a game early. So yeah, there's too many games to play, but I've definitely covered a lot of stuff this year, more so than last year.
Yeah. As for me, and I always, you know, write down every game I've beaten, new game I've beaten every year. And so far I have played less games than I have last year. Last year was 7. Currently, right now, it's 5. So it's less. Although I will say I've had, and I do have more game codes this year. I just chose not to review. Either I chose not to review them or somebody else on the site reviewed them. But, you know, as I've said many times, my this generation has just been a slog for me. A lot of the games coming out haven't really enticed me. Even the games I've been offered to play, like I have a code, you know, for like the Prince of Persia game, a couple of PlayStation PC ports. I'm just like, whatever, I'm good. So yeah, so far it's been 5 games. Also, I can't, there's a couple of things I can't talk about right now. I'll tell you about that later. But with that said, I have actually bought more games this year than last. And that's all due to my recent re-love affair with fighting games. You know, I got the Marvel's Capcom collection that set everything off. And I guess concurrently, while I was like re-obsessed with that game and I got back into Street Fighter VI, PlayStation had a sale, just a wide sale of everything for like a month. Bro, like I bought a bunch of shit for cheap. Like literally last year, I don't think I bought a game. I don't remember. Actually, legit don't remember last time I bought a game. Because again, I'm a game reviewer and stuff. I get these get codes, so I don't really buy games. But this year I went ham. And specifically the last 2 months, I bought Tekken 7, King of Fighters 98, 2002, and 15. The first Guilty Gear, and Virtua Fighter 5, the PS1, PS5 one with the Dragon engine. So I did buy a bunch of shit. And I think I may have bought a couple of other games here and there on Steam, because this is Steam. You know how that goes. But yes, but I have definitely played less games, but that is, you know, and also let's just be real. You know, this year's been kind of crazy for me. Like, you know, when my mom passed away and all that, like there was no gaming happening for like a good bunch of weeks. And I also had my other interests going on. I wrote 2 novellas and everything. So, but yeah, but the most amount of gaming that I've done this year really came in the last 2 months. Not only the Marvel's Capcom collection and Street Fighter VI, among other things, but also Astro Bot. But before Astro Bot, bro, the last game I played was like Stellar Blade in April. You know, this year was very, very dry. Maybe things will change. Because I do have Metaphor, and I do plan to play that. But yeah, we'll see. So, but even if I play Metaphor, I still would have played less games this year than last year. And it's a pattern, too. Every year, I play less and less games. Just so you guys know, back in the day on Twitter, every single year, I would do, you know, my top 10 games of the year, right? And it got to one point where I'd be like, I got to make it top 15. Too many good games. Every year it's gotten less and less. And I think the last time I did this was like 2 or 3 years ago. I'm like, I don't even have a top 3 anymore, man. So I just stopped that because there's just not enough games that interest me. This year, we'll see. I probably won't do it again because even if the games I played this year, I mean, maybe Metaphor might be the winner. But like even games I've loved like Stellar Blade and Astro Bot, they're good, but they're not like, oh my God, these are examples of current gen. You know what I'm saying? Blitz, what's going on, brother? He goes, in the last month while in Japan and since I got home, I have bought Zelda, Emeo, Sonic Superstars, Sonic Generations, Ace Combat 7, and Yakuza Kiwami. My man went in, you know? So yeah, definitely. So it's a weird thing. It's like, for games I've played, less games, new games, but I have played more. I probably played more games or put in more game time in the last 3 months than I have in years, bro. You know, like your boy, I was going in today on fucking Tekken 7, you know, learning that game in the dojo, you know. So it's been fun.
Yo, man, playing a Tekken game, in the day, Tony would have been like, ooh.
Yeah, and I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something that younger Tony would have been appalled by. I think Tekken 7 plays better than Virtua Fighter, you know?
Ooh!
It does. Again, I played both back and back. Like, oh, Virtua Fighter feels kind of stiff in comparison. But granted, it's a fucking almost 20-year-old game now, you know, compared to something brand new. But yeah, we'll see. I definitely want to play Metaphor for the year is out. But I got to get into that headspace of big-ass RPG, when right now I just want to get into fucking dojo and learn, you know? Oh, by the way, not to go off topic, but I've been meaning to bring this up, but I couldn't find a way to do it. Because a couple weeks ago, I was asked, and we were asked to, you know, like, actually, it was me. Like, Tony, now that you're playing fighting games, are you training yourself to play on a fight stick? And I said, no, because you shouldn't do that. You know, if you're used to one thing, you shouldn't change. Remember, I have re-gotten back into fighting games, so that also means I've been checking out a bunch of tournament videos, and I wish I had seen those videos before I gave that answer, because it would have made my point even better. Check this shit out. Evo, these are Evo winners, right? Sonic Fox, Punk, and Mena, right? Three Evo champions of the last 3 years. You know what they used? A regular ass DualSense controller, bro. They won Evo with just a regular PlayStation controller that comes with every console, which proves my point. It doesn't matter what you use, bro. A fight stick is not going to make you better. Mena, what's his name? República Dominicana, right? That's what his name is. He beat a guy, top Japanese player, who was using a fight stick. He still whipped his ass with a regular DualSense. So it's whatever you use to use that, you know, when you're playing fighting games. Because there's still that stigma that's like, oh, yeah, you got to use a fight stick. No, you fucking don't. There are some champions that have won EVO who have never been in an arcade because they're too fucking young. You know, what have they used? You're going to tell those guys, no, use a fight stick. That's stupid. It makes no sense. You know, and conversely, you would tell a fight stick guy to start using a fucking gamepad. It doesn't make any sense. You know, by the way, if I were to count Marvel vs. Capcom as the games I've played, then it would be about even. But I don't count remakes and remasters and stuff, or remasters, I should say. Remakes I would count for new games, you know. Blitz says I got Marvel vs. Capcom physical version. Dragon Quest III and Mario and Luigi Brothership in November. So many games this year. That's awesome, man. All right. And I like the question. I'm glad you asked the question, man. Thank you for that. Right. Last couple of questions of the night. Last three, I should say. Black Metal Gamer. By the way, I had to get rid of some of his other questions. He's trying to get us in trouble again. I always say Black Metal Gamer asks us very controversial questions when he's drunk, I think. So, and one of them was one that you keep asking us, and I keep telling you we're not going to answer, which is, what is the worst game studio? That's just mean-spirited, bro. We're not going to do that. So stop asking us that question. all right, first up here, what is a bigger concern in the current era of video games? Out-of-control budgets and I had to rephrase this, questionable quality control with regard to writing, bugs, and gameplay? I say both, you know. When you have a combination of like really funky like political stuff with out of control budget, makes for bad things. Suicide Squad, I'm looking right at you, you know. But yeah, no, the both of those are, in my opinion, equally as bad. So we need to get one of them could be fixed. The shoehorning of certain ideas, that could be easily fixed, I think. Just get rid of certain people. It's the budgets that they need to worry about. And I think that may, in the end, be the biggest problem, because you think about this. Back in the day, you would have multiple iterations of games coming out back to back to back to back because the games wouldn't take that long to develop. Now, you have to wait years, bro. You know, it's crazy. It's getting out of hand. So listen to Sean Layden, man. You got to cut it back. But the problem is it's going to be getting gamers to accept some of this stuff. You know, because they're like, oh, I need this. They've got to get the checkbox, open world, multiplayer, all RPG mechanics. It's like, can you just make the game do one thing and do it really well? Why the fuck do we need all these other things? You know, even my beloved Final Fantasy VII games. I'm like, bro, what is all these fucking mini games, bro? This is crazy. We don't need all this shit. And, you know, that's how you could lower the game cost, by not having all this crazy shit, you know? Bro, you know, like today I beat the King of Fighters story mode. And King of Fighters is not a fucking super expensive game, right? The credits were like 10 minutes long. I know those fucking people didn't all make this game, you know, but everybody's getting a piece of the pie. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, they have to put all the, you know, the other companies' logos and things that they really did. The payroll department, yeah. You know, like stuff like, come on, guys, you didn't make no game.
Like, what the fuck are we doing? And again, this is a game I know for a fact is not that high budget, you know, but no, here we go. 10-minute credits, you know. Ubisoft is the worst. They have like 30-minute credits, man. You just go on and on and on and on. Like, you know, Bob and catering didn't do shit. Why is he listed on there, you know? And Carol doesn't need a special thanks. She didn't do nothing, you know? Anyway, what about the rest of you guys? What do you think is the worst out of these, the budgets or the ideology?
I guess I would say the budgets, because we still have shitty games that have no ideology.
Yeah.
I mean, Halo Infinite is an example of a game that has bloated budgets, but it still fails to be a good game. Yeah, you know, we have a whole bunch of different types of games that are just created based off of money loops, where it's like, oh, either make a game that's going to take 5 to 10 years and be worth over $200 million, or not make a game at all. And if we do, and if we abide by those guidelines, then the game has to sell. And what's guaranteed to sell? Oh, well, games as a service, multiplayer, huge open world, all these things, that everything, like you mentioned, with the check marks. So I feel like the money corrupts video games that take away innovation, that take away inspiration. The whole politics thing, I mean, you can make a really good politics game. Like, I feel like that, you know, it just so happens that a lot of the ones that are coming out recently happen to be shit, but, you know, like, just like with music, there's a shit ton of music that's overtly political, that's classic music that we all love. But, you know, it just so happens that, you know, sometimes when some people make stuff like that, it just doesn't work out. And I feel like it's more towards the fact that it's a fad at this moment, that I feel like it'll kind of blow over.
Yeah, and that's why ultimately, even though I do think that's a problem, that's why I think ultimately the money, the budgets are the real, real problem in the end, you know?
Yeah, because I feel like the money thing is something that is going to stick with us forever. We're never going to reach a point where people at the top making video games that have all the power don't want to make the best profit.
It's always about the money.
It's always about the moolah.
Yeah, it's not like before, man, when it's just like, hey, let's make a game about this. Okay. And that was it. That's all it took. Now you got to go through fucking the board of, you know, and all this other shit. You got to get approval, testing groups, got to do all this fucking nonsense. A lot of the games that we love would not have been made under these conditions, man. You know?
I think a lot of times all that stuff is really just internal bullshit.
Yeah.
I really don't think that. I think when it comes to certain, they want to add those additional checks and balances, but. To answer this question, yeah, I agree. I think it's really the budgets, you know. I think it's the budgets that are just sort of, I think it's a lot of times it's an issue of scope. You know, I think a lot of these, you know, again, what you guys said before was the clicking those check boxes, everything. You have to have everything inside of a game.
The Applebee's of gaming, as we keep saying.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the you have RPG elements, you have, you know, and it all comes from the idea of people, you know, of the a perceived value. You know, yeah. What I mean? Where this goes back to what we were talking about when we were talking about the Order 1886, way back in the early days of the PlayStation 4. It's like, you know, some games can still be a $60 game and be a shorter experience. Because they're spending the time on the game is on the whole on the other part, the visual part of it, right? Whereas, you know, maybe a game that may have more multiplayer or more other things, you know, back in the day, you look at like the Grand Theft Auto games, right? You know, now they look great, right? But back in the day, they looked like shit. All of those games looked like fucking shit. But the reason why, but what the things that you can do in those games, the open world, that was the meat and potatoes of those games.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I, you know, again, like I feel like I don't think a lot of developers listen as well. It's like, pick a lane, guys. You don't need to have everything in it. You know, you don't need to have a giant open world with RPG elements and all these artificial things to essentially extend game time because of these, because some arbitrary people out there think that that game should have all these. Remember the day when games used to have game journalists used to always be like, oh, how come this doesn't have a multiplayer?
Yeah, I remember that.
Whatever that bullshit.
Where's the multiplayer?
Who the fuck does Uncharted even a multiplayer? No, it fucking doesn't. Nobody, nobody.
Controversy.
Nobody. No, sorry. Whatever. You can listen. There's nothing about that Uncharted multiplayer that couldn't have been done with something else. You could have made a whole new franchise and had platforming elements and all that other bullshit, and then not have the Uncharted thing. Uncharted being multiplayer has nothing. It doesn't matter. It's just a multiplayer mode with an Uncharted skin on it. That's all it fucking is.
Yeah. Remember the era of tacked on multiplayer? Every game had that shit.
Every single game. Well, from Brutal Legend to Uncharted, you know, to all these games. And what happened? Where's all that now? Oh, right, because it's bullshit, and it's not there now because it doesn't matter. Because none of those online modes were worth anything.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, with Dead Space, Tomb Raider, The Last of Us, tacked on multiplayer, you know?
Yeah, you don't need it. I mean, granted, like, you know, like for a game like Halo, where the gameplay is the thing, you could separate that the gameplay of that game is so compelling, for the at least the original ones was so compelling, that you could easily bump it off into a multiplayer and still keep everything intact. But like, there's, you know, some games don't need it, and the game studios realize this now. It's like, hey, we don't need to have all that.
Yeah, we'll sell you DLC instead.
We'll sell you a bunch of DLC.
Yeah,
piecemeal.
Yeah, yeah. Were you gonna say, Carlos?
I also wonder how many people these days are into making video games.
Developers?
I feel like the last decade, a little bit more than a decade, has been more about, you know, a lot of people going in, and maybe this is a convergence that doesn't happen, but I feel like the last decade plus, a lot of the workforce that might have gone to gaming has gone to the tech space overwhelmingly. Shout out to Chris. A lot of folks that would be making video games these days are going to different careers that have nothing to do with video games. And I feel like there aren't that many. And I don't know, this could be just like sort of anecdotal
type. Yeah, I was going to say, like, what, like, do you have any like numbers or anything? Because like, and are you accounting for indie developers?
No, the thing with me is, you know, being tangentially around the gaming industry, like, you always hear how bad it is.
Yeah.
Like, you hear about how, you know, the pay isn't as good as it should be. The job security isn't as good as it should be. And all these different things about making video games, and where a lot of folks, you know, that maybe would have been in the video game industry are now going to different types of other avenues, like tech, which is kind of like game, you know, a lot of gaming is tech, but, you know, a lot of the folks that could have gone there are going to different things that are quote unquote more desirable these days. And I feel like video games might have taken a hit, and I don't know. It's just a theory. I'm not saying that it's like this is for sure what's going on. I just feel like maybe the workforce in video games just doesn't exist because there's not that as many people that would be willing to do it, and by doing that, you have sort of a divergence of talent that could have, maybe, you know, what if there was the next Kojima would have existed if he didn't go to Google or something like that, or the next Miyazaki or something like that,
or if he wasn't fired. you know, because we saw a lot of that this year, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I would be interested to see if there are less game developers nowadays than there were before. It'd be interesting to find out one way or another. All right, another one from Black Metal Gamer. I used to judge a game by its cover art. Now I judge them by the development team. Do you feel the same way? This one's kind of tied into his last point. All his questions were about that, if you know what I mean. Like, I know the heart of his question is like, if you see the development team has certain views, if he knows that, he won't buy the game. My thing is still the same. Mm. Yeah, I mean, Chris, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the days of looking at fancy cover art or just screenshots is over. Like, yeah, we're not shopping out of this year's catalog anymore. You know, you have to kind of pay attention to what's going on. And there's a lot of warning signs. And honestly, there's a lot of people, like influencers or whatever, talking about this shit. And then you see that stuff and you're like, ah, man, I don't know if I want to, you know, or you wait and see, like Dragon Age Veilguard, right? You see the game, like, just looking at the trailer they put out at the State of Play, I was like, ah, this game looking rough. If I knew nothing else about what was going on in the background at BioWare, right?
Yeah.
But there, we have the internet, we have social media, we do know what's going on in the background of BioWare, and I'm like, yeah, I'll probably pass, right? I can see where the focus of this game is, and it's not on gameplay or fun or anything, so I'm going to pass. It doesn't look good either. So, yeah, I agree with that statement. Like, honestly, I think BioWare is screwed after this game.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
I think this game and... Here's the thing. I was going to say this game and Mass Effect, but if this game does that horribly, bro, it might be it.
That might be it.
But yeah, I kind of agree with this as well. And I do this for all media. I'm like, who's behind this? What are they saying? You know, this is one of the reasons I didn't watch that X-Men cartoon. When I saw the people behind, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. You know, I'm fine. Dragon Age, by the way, by the time you hear this, the reviews would have lifted the embargo. So this week's going to be very interesting, to say the least, you know? But yeah, because you're right. We don't really have – I don't know what the box art is for anything because I don't buy games. You know, I don't buy physical anymore. I don't know what the fuck the – but I know what the logo is, and I can get updated, you know? Like, oh, the game has a different logo now in the menu, you know? Yeah, box art is not really a thing anymore. Yeah.
I think if you usually look at the cover, the art for certain games, like Tony said, I didn't buy a physical Elden Ring. I have a digital.
Yeah.
But if you look at the icon on the PlayStation, you don't know what the hell that symbol is. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is that? If you just judge that, you'd be like, I don't even know what I'm looking at. I'll pass, right? So you can't really judge games like that anymore.
Usually they throw the key art on the menus. So you get to see a version of whatever the cover is. So like Astrobot, if you played that, you get to see what the, you know, the splash image that they throw on whenever you start your game, that's usually the key art to your game. But
like, yeah. I said, even that isn't permanent too. Like, for example, yeah. I've been playing a lot of
Like for example, I've been playing
Street Fighter 6. Guess who's there now? It's Terry Bogart. Hey, you know.
No, I'm saying not the one where you put your icon on there and it plays the music before you go in. The second one. Usually it shows you your main key art of your game right after, as soon as you start that application. It's the same.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But you've already bought it at that point.
Yeah. You already bought it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's already bought it, but you're not selling to anybody with that, mm-hmm. with that thing.
Yeah. Those days are over.
Other than you seeing the icon within the menus of, if you're buying it through your PlayStation, that's the point where you'll see the cover or if you go to the stores.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, what's up?
For me on this one, is it looking at the developers? I still give people the benefit of the doubt. To use that sort of X-Men situation as an example. I quite enjoyed the show and I think it did a very good job of what they did. So I feel like in general, I think a lot of this stuff has made people I feel overly cautious when it comes to these sorts of, when it comes to some things. and it makes people a little bit more shy to, or not shy, but just more cautious as to what things are. If you're seeing like, you know, the first impressions are usually the thing that I always base my, whether I'm going to buy something off of or not. And if that first impression tells me that, okay, you know, it's something that I don't really think I'll enjoy, I'll usually listen to that. That doesn't has nothing to do with whatever politics or any of that sort of stuff is. It's like, okay, is this looking cool? All right, I'm down. Yeah. That's about it.
Oh, yeah. The other thing I want to add, Chris, I know you could agree. The other one is if they flat out tell me don't like it, don't buy it, I listen to that.
Oh, yeah, that's immediate.
I listen to that. Like, you tell me, oh, okay, sure, okay. I got you. I will take you up on that. You know?
Yeah. If a director of a game goes out like a lunatic and says that shit, then it's guaranteed you're not getting my money.
Oh yeah.
For me, if it's something that I'm still thinking I'm going to enjoy, I don't let the if those sorts of don't like it, don't buy it sort of things come out there. I don't let that affect what my decision is. Doesn't fucking matter what they have to say. What matters is what did they do with the game. If I get it and it's fucked up and I didn't like it, then okay, then I didn't like it. Doesn't, because I feel like a lot of what's happening these days is people are being incredibly overly protective of the things that they put out into the world. You have no fucking control over what people think about your shit. And if you're not making the best impression, if you're not trying to get people to try to, doesn't matter who, whatever side or whatever fucking political beliefs or whatever religious belief, you're not doing your fucking job trying to sell a product if you're not getting everybody in on this. And if you start doing these sorts of things, that means you're already cutting down your audience and you're not being an effective person, effective creator. Especially when it comes to when it comes to the AAA space or it comes to the big media space. If you're doing your little indie project, right? And if you really believe these things, that I feel like that is the space to have that sort of thing. If you remember the indie days of comics, right? What you find all kinds of independent comics that hit specific audiences that they're looking for, whatever direction you are. But when you get onto the play field of the general audience, that means everybody on this planet. If you're not trying to attract as many people as you can to your product, you're not doing a good job. Plain and simple.
Yep.
For me, it's more, I guess, not as in depth. It's just if a game looks good, then I'll play it. I don't really care about the politics. It could be a far right wing video game. It could be a far left wing video game. If it does something that entices me of a video game, then I'll play it. If I feel like it's worth, you know, me paying for it. I feel like we've gotten to a point in politics and social media, and I blame Twitter for this, where it's like if it has X, X, and X, then it's a hard no, and then I'm just gonna start talking shit about it every day. Just because it had an XXX, and it could be anything. And it's like if it has a woman on as the main character, there's gonna be a huge chunk of people that are gonna be talking shit about it. If it's made by someone that has Patriot in their bio, then there's gonna be a whole subset of other people that are gonna be pissed about the game. It's just the whole silliness of the internet where, you know, everyone's just pre-programmed to hate on things just because it fits some sort of category of different tokens that, you know, fall into something. And sometimes, you know, it could be complete shit and have no political message, and some stuff is the complete opposite. I don't know. I just feel like a lot of people are just being programmed to, you know, be triggered by stuff, and we don't really judge things for what they are anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one.
I didn't. What did I just say before you?
It sounds like me. Like you guys are. You guys said the same thing, which is fair.
We said the same thing.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on
this? You're the only one, Carlos.
Yeah.
Oh no! Just looking at. I guess I didn't see in this room. Just in a vacuum, like when you go to Twitter, when you go to social media, it's just that's why I'm not on Twitter anymore. Hardly ever. That's all you get. It's just people are programmed to say the same things.
Just to that point, Carlos, this is why I stopped just giving my opinion on this stuff, because there's no point. I'm like, I'll share my opinion with the homies, right? But other than that, there's no point. Here's the thing. When I hear certain phrases, I know exactly what kind of product I'm going to get. So instead of just watching that product and getting myself angry, just avoid it. It's very simple, and it works, and it's working out very well for me. Again, when I hear certain things, like when I hear don't like it or buy it, I've indulged in enough of those things to know exactly what kind of product it is. Stay away from it. There's no point going on Twitter or making fucking videos about it to yell about it. It's no fucking point. I'm going to tell my homies about it, and I'm good. Even this weekend, there was some shit, like somebody hit me, yo, you saw this on Twitter? I'm like, I don't fucking know. You know, I'm not paying attention, especially on the weekends. I'm not paying attention on Twitter. So here's the thing. I think it's good to be aware of stuff, but you don't need to get in the mud, so to speak. I don't fuck that shit. I'm just going to enjoy what I do, you know, and that's that.
Like there's people, like I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Let's say Black Myth Wukong.
Wukong?
It's a pretty good game. I think everyone that's played it can say that, or at least a good chunk of people that played it can say that. There would be a subset of people that would say, I'm not gonna play something made from the CCP.
Yeah,
and they would have never played it just because they have that precondition in their mind where it's like, I'm not ever gonna play something that's made from that. But this game could have turned out to be the best game ever.
Yeah,
but they would never know. They'd just be predispositioned to hate it or talk shit about it.
Well, that's sort of what happened. Isn't
it? Well, I didn't hear any of those developers.
They didn't say don't buy my game.
Freaks or I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
so that's a big difference. You act like a professional.
Yeah, one thing you will notice from at least from a lot of Asian, a lot of Asian developers. They let people say what they have to say. They don't apologize. They're like, we're sorry that you feel this way, because it is a you problem. It's not their problem. It's a you problem. You don't like what's in their game. You don't like what they have to say or the way their game works. So I feel like that's an old way of doing it, right? That's what old, Hollywood back in the days when people used to come down on like Clint Eastwood calling his films fascist propaganda. You remember when that stuff, right?
They're also good movies.
But the thing about it is, it's like, listen, sometimes you're just out to make an entertaining thing. Just let it be what it is. And if it does well, it does well. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And you know what you do? If you're lucky, you can go out and learn from the things that you did before. It didn't work out that time. You try it over again, and then you learn from the mistakes that you made before, and then you make another game. If your company hasn't fucking imploded after making a billion-dollar game, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like, as a person who's created things for the industry for years. Number one, obviously people are going to feel the way they're going to feel. That is the way you have no control over that. But the main thing is, it's like, you're putting it out there. You're like, here, I'm giving it to you. If you like it, if you like it, if you don't, it's fine. It means I didn't do my job to essentially attract you to the thing that I did. Sorry.
And then we've reached a point where, like Manny, when he works on something, like let's say a video game, he's only one of maybe hundreds or dozens or whatever the project may be. And if one dumbass says something that's not Manny's, that says something, it affects the game, even though Manny has nothing to do with what the person said. So it's like there's a lot of crazy shit, man.
Yeah, one idiot ruining for the whole team, When I can guarantee you, the majority of the team just wants to make a good product, But then they got to deal with just bullshit. Look what they said on Twitter. Fuck, here we go.
Yeah. It's like, come on, guys, just let it come out. Let it, We don't need to go down this route. Just go to say, hey, listen, you know, we're putting this out there. This is something we really, really enjoyed. But yada, yada, yada. Hope you like it. Done.
Yeah.
All right. That's why I went after that or went crazy after. What was that one person who was on LinkedIn that posted all that shit?
Wait, what? Did we talk about this?
Yeah, we talked about it during the show where they were complaining about, I don't know if it was about the backlash or something.
We've talked about this a lot of times, but was it the last time
we talked about this? Yeah, the dude
who was upset over not only like gamers, but his own people talking shit about his game, apparently. What are this diatribe? Like, bro, shut the fuck up. You know,
number one, it's like number one, that's the first thing you don't do. Don't air out this shit, you know, whatever that is in a public space. That's the first thing about professionalism. You don't do that shit.
Well, these people aren't professional. That's the thing.
Yeah. It feels like you're a child, right?
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's what
child
it is.
It's this childish behavior of like having to complain about every single thing. Listen, this is just the way things happen. And unfortunately, if you're not getting it, if the thing is that you're putting out is not, you're not getting it, then it is what it is. You, no matter how much, it's like it's trying to explain a joke to somebody. The joke is not going to get, it's not going to be funny with you explaining it to people.
Yo, let me tell you why this joke's funny.
You can't tell, like, a lot of these guys, you see them out there, like, they want the pat on the back for being what they consider geniuses. It's like, this is not genius work if you're being so obvious about this shit. Just go, again, put it out there. Hopefully it makes some money and you can continue to make some games, more games. That's it.
Yeah.
It's all any of this is.
It's wild, man. All right, man. Let's get to the last question of the night. Brian, this one's specifically for you, man. Are you interested in playing Squirrel with a Gun?
I had some interest and then I seen it and I was like, okay, it's one of those meme games. So I lost slight interest. Again, it's fascinating that someone would actually take the time out to make a game like that, because it's very, it's so unorthodox and the title just says it all. But at the same time, I seen what substance was there and it's like, there's not much substance. It just seems to be like Goat Simulator where it's just there for like the fun of it. So if you enjoy that, fine. Again, not my thing, but if I would play like a meme game, I'd want there to be some sort of substance to it, you know?
Yeah. That's a title right there, isn't it? Squirrel with a Gun. What's the game about? It's about a squirrel with a gun. Oh, man. All right. Let's start wrapping it up here. Rich, what's going on with the coalition this week?
Yeah. So, Mr. Adam Vale, Carlos Romero, and myself, we recorded the latest episode of the I Am Negan podcast. It's currently on the website and on several audio platforms. So if you are a Daryl Dixon fan, definitely check out the podcast.
Yeah.
Great discussion as always.
Also, is Adam reviewing Call of Duty for the site?
Oh, yeah. I can confirm that. Yes, Adam is reviewing Call of Duty. He, like you mentioned, he is going to be on the show this Thursday. But yeah, there will be a review on the website, but again, don't know when, because we got the code the same day everyone got the game, which was Friday. Oh. So that's probably not going to be, maybe later in the week, we'll see. But he'll definitely be on the show. And as for other reviews, yeah, there's a lot of other things that we have coming this week, some stuff that we can't talk about yet. But stay tuned. And one last thing I will say, because we already announced that Adam is going to be reviewing and talking about Call of Duty. I just want to say this. I look forward to hearing our very good friend Tony Polanco's thoughts on Dragon Age as well later this week. So stay tuned.
Oh, I don't know. That review may be veiled. You know, we'll see. Rich, man, you crack me up, man. All right, guys, we're done here. So, yeah, make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe to us on YouTube and join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. And, of course, you can find us on any podcast app on the planet. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Majoma.
Please tell my family that I love them. I'm going into the wilds.
Ooh, let's go, son. It's going to be a very interesting week. You may see Throwdown Game Night return, people. We will see what happens. All right, later.